I want to speak to you this morning. I want to speak to you. To you. Not to the person on your left hand, not to the person on your right hand. Not to the person in front or behind of you. Not to someone listening elsewhere, but to you. I have a message for you today and a question for you today. In the passage which we read this morning from Psalm 14, we read in verse 1 that the fool have said in his heart, there is no God. The fool have said in his heart, there is no God. Now is that you? Is that you this day? Have you said in your heart, do you say in your heart, that there is no God? Have you ever said in your heart, there is no God? Are you this fool? Were you this fool? Have you said that in your heart? Perhaps even with your lips, brazenly, oh, there's no God. Or just in your heart. Well, if you have, you're a fool. For deep down in your conscience, if you have a conscience, you know, like everyone, that there is a God. And you know that one day you will stand before this God. And you know that one day you will give an account of your life and everything you have done and everything you have said to this God. Oh yes, you know there is a God. Whatever you may say with your lips and whatever you may say with your heart, you know it. But will you still be a fool and say in your heart, there is no God? You see, it's a matter of the heart. What I'm addressing to you today is what you say in your heart. You may say before other men with your lips, oh, I believe in God. I believe in God. Many say they believe in God. But in their hearts, it's another matter. What they say in their lips is one thing, but with the heart, by their deeds and their actions, they live as though there is no God. And in their hearts they say there is no God. The Bible says in one place that this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Where is your heart this day? What do you say with your heart? No matter what you say with your lips, is your heart far from God? Does your heart say there is no God? Do you live as though there's no God? Or do you know God? Do you know his salvation? For there's a voice which has gone out into this world. A voice, a subtle, an insidious, a persuasive voice. Which has persuaded and which has deceived millions to their destruction. A voice which comes alongside man and whispers into the heart of man, you shall not surely die. Which says, there's no God. And today thousands, millions are still listening to the persuasive whisperings of this voice. And are taken in by this voice and his whisperings. And what fools they are. What fools they are to listen to such a voice which says to them, you shall not surely die. Which says to them, there is no God. What folly to believe such whisperings in your heart. For there is a God. And we will stand before this God. And we will die and we'll have to give an account on that day in which we die to this our Maker. And should you reject him, then you will surely die. And you will surely remain dead. For when you stand before him, he will cast you out into everlasting darkness and everlasting death. So consider some of these whisperings which come alongside man to the fool of man that is taken in by such things. Consider these whisperings and these sayings which spring in the heart of the fool, which have entered into the heart of man, which when man fell in sin entered, and when sin entered, death entered. Consider these foolish sayings. Let's consider six sayings of the fool. Firstly, in the heart of the fool says, there is no God. He begins by saying, there is no God. But the heavens, the world, the creation, the conscience within man, and the scriptures, the word of God, say otherwise. Man may say in his heart there is no God, but there is a threefold testimony which says otherwise, and a threefold testimony which man must shut his ears to and shut his eyes to remain deceived. A man may say there is no God, for he cannot see God. He looks with the outer eye and he sees and he says, well, where is God? I cannot see him. As Job said of old, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Man can't see God by nature, and he knows not where to go to find God. And because he cannot see him, he dismisses him. And yet, though he cannot be seen, he is still there. Man cannot see the air that he breathes, but take that air away and man would drop down dead in a moment. Man depends on the air and the oxygen in the air to live. And though he cannot see it, it is there, and it is vital to his existence. And though he cannot see God who created him and who sustains him, nevertheless, if God were not there, man would drop down dead in an instant. You may say in your heart there is no God, for everything witnesses to him. The heavens witness to him. The creation witnesses to him. You cannot look upon this creation and upon the stars and the firmament, the sun and the moon, the rising up of the sun and the setting of the sun, the growing up of the crops and the harvest of the crops, the creation, the creatures, the creation of man, the wonder of man, the wonder of the human eye, the wonder of all living creatures. You cannot look upon these things with an honest and an open mind and not see the hand of the Creator in them. For as it says in Romans, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, and being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness with the lust of their own hearts, to dishonour their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Oh yes, man knows there's a God. The creation of the world clearly witnesses to him. It clearly demonstrates his eternal power and Godhead. And though he may be invisible, he who is invisible is made known by the work of his hands. And though man may proclaim himself to be wise, he has become as a fool. For all creation around him testifies what he knows in his heart and conscience, that there is a God before whom he is accountable. Yeah, what an awful tale we have read here of what happens to man in his folly. When he turns from God and says in his heart there is no God, what becomes of him? What sin and wickedness and corruption he falls into. How contemporary this description is. How descriptive of mankind in our day and age, and the depravity into which he has fallen when he says there is no God. And God turns around and says and does to those who do not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gives them over to a reprobate mind and gives them up to their folly and to their corruption. That which they sow, they will reap. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold back the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. You may say with your lips, or you may just say in your heart that there is no God. But that which may be known of God is manifest in you. And God have showed it unto you, whether you see it or whether you reject it. And should you reject it and say in your heart there is no God, know you this day that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Yes, it's revealed in the heavens. The heavens declare the handiwork of God. The heavens declare his eternal power and Godhead. But these things are not just made known in the heavens, they're made known in the conscience of man. The Gentiles, which have not the law nor the scriptures, when they do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. You see, in the heart of man, in the conscience, whether you have been raised to hear the preaching of the gospel, whether you have ever read the Bible, whether you know anything of the Bible or nothing, as these Gentiles to whom Paul was sent at Rome, they knew nothing of the scriptures which the Jews had. Yet, in their conscience bore witness, their hearts bore witness, and they either accused one another of wrong or excused one another. The heart of man knows right from wrong, and the heart and conscience of man knows that there is a God. And not only that, not only is it true in the heavens, not only is it true in the creation, not only is it true in the conscience of man, that he knows there is a God deep down. But it is also, the record has been left to us in the scriptures and in the preaching of the scriptures in the gospel. God has declared his truth. and has broadcast it throughout the world. He has sent it forth to the four corners of the world to make it known to all who will listen. These things are known, that God is true and His word is true. It is absolutely true. Absolute truth. God has declared His truth of who He is and what He has done and what man is before Him. And if men shut their ears and men turn aside and men scoff and reject and men say in their hearts there is no God, they have no excuse. For the truth is made known in creation, in the conscience, and in the gospel and the word of God. Do you today say there is no God in your heart? For there is a God. There is one God. He is just. He is true. His word is true. He declares His word in the scriptures. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, it says in John. The word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. This word which we preach is true. And ye shall know the truth, God says to those who receive it, and the truth shall make you free. God's word is true. There is a God. There is a God. Whatever you may say in your heart, there is a God. But the fool doesn't just say there is no God. The fool goes on to say, if there is no God, then there is no creator. There is no creator. They look around at the world around them. Modern man today says this world's not created. He comes at it with his science, falsely so called. He looks at the world around. He looks at the fossils he digs up. He looks at the creatures and he examines them. And despite the testimony which shouts out loud and clear through all of it to him that this is created, he says, there's no creator. He looks at the data and he works out some means and some schemes by which it might have come into being. And he says, no, it's all by chance. No, there can't be a God, so there can't be a creator. It's all just come about by chance. Everything's interrelated. He looks at the animals and he says, oh, they've all come from one ancestor. And he works at it with his science and he says, oh, it's all so scientific. We've examined the data, we've examined the evidence, and we've proven that we've all descended from one ancestor, and we've all descended from creatures that came from the sea, and they all descended from single cells, which came from but elements upon the earth, and the earth came from explosions through atoms, and all eventually came from nothing. A man in his wisdom becomes a fool. For the data says none of these things. He puts upon it a hypothesis and a theory which has no proof and no backing. For having rejected God, he must come up with another means by which he came to be. So he spins a lie. And a lie which deceives countless millions. For the millions say, well, the scientists say. And the scientists cannot be right, for the scientists have looked into these things and have proof. And the fools follow the fools. And the fools say there is no creator. For if there's no God, then there's no creator. And they follow a lie. And the lie is proclaimed so many times that the fools believe it. If you tell the people a lie often enough, the people will believe it. And the lie is proclaimed everywhere. And the people, like fools, believe it. Are you such a fool? When creation speaks loud and clear that you come from a maker, that there is one who put you upon this earth before whom you must stand. The account in Genesis 1 of creation is true. The account in Hebrews 11 that by faith we understand that God created the heavens and the earth. is true. It is true. It is absolutely true. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. But they were made out of nothing. But they were not made out of nothing by nothing. They were made out of that which existed before the heavens and the earth were brought into being. They were made by the one who existed from eternity. God. The one who existed before the heavens and the earth. The one whose voice sounded. The one who could speak and bring forth living things into being. The one who spake and it was. If you take away him, you have no cause for anything to come out of nothing. But if there's a God, then there's a creator. And there is a creator, whatever the fools may say. But the fools go on to say that if there is no God and there is no creator, then there is no sin. There can be no sin. They reject the gospel and they reject the truth of God and the witness of the truth of God against them. That they are sinners. And as sinners they are accountable to God for their wickedness and their rebellion to God. But if they turn away from God and say there is no God, then there is no God to be accountable to. And they have made themselves into God and they are accountable to themselves. If you say in your heart there is no God, then you have no one to give an account to. And therefore whatever you do is just right because it is right in your eyes. You do as you wish. If you choose to do this, that's fine. If you choose to do that, that's fine. There is no such thing as good and evil. People talk about morality and ethics. And yet in a world in which they have abolished the truth, and in a world in which they have abolished God from their thinking, in a world in which in their hearts they say there is no God, then there is no truth. There is no right and wrong. There is no ground for morality or ethics. Every man can do just as he pleases. Who are you to judge whether it is right for your neighbour to do this or that? How can you say it is wrong for your neighbour to steal from you? How can you say it is wrong for your neighbour to beat you or to lie to you or to murder you? How can you sit in judgment of your neighbour when there is no truth and when there is no rights and wrongs and when there is no one to give account to except yourselves? Your neighbour does as he pleases and you do as you please. What fools you have become. And yet the fools say there is no sin. And they rise up in anger should anyone come and say, but you're a sinner. And you are accountable. And there is right from wrong. And you will be judged for that which you have done. For the truth is that there is sin. And every man upon this earth is a sinner and he stands before God with whom he must deal. And he will have to give an account. For he is a sinner. As the Psalm 14 which we read said, following that declaration that the fool have said in his heart, there is no God. It goes on to say that they are corrupt. The fools are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And yet they are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. All these fools that say in their heart there is no God have all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. For they are sin in their heart. They have sinful hearts, corrupt hearts. You in your heart who says there is no God, you are corrupt. Your heart says there's no God, for your heart is corrupt. And your heart rebels against God. Your heart rebels against he who put you upon this earth. Your heart rebels against He who sustains you this very moment, He who keeps your heart beating, He who keeps your lungs breathing, He who keeps you in existence. With that life which He gives you at this moment, you rebel and you say there is no God. And in doing, you do no good, but you sin. And you sin grievously against Him who will bring you to account. All men say there is no sin. And yet the truth is that in man there is no good. For in the garden, when Adam sins, when that voice which whispers to every man upon this earth came alongside Eve and whispered and said, "Ye shall not surely die," and deceived Eve, and she was taken in by that voice, and she thought she could eat of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, which her God had commanded that should not be eaten. When she was deceived, she ate, and she went to her husband Adam and beguiled him, and he ate. And as he ate, sin entered into the heart of man, and by sin, death. And sin entered, and death by sin. And death is something you cannot escape nor deny. And should you try to deny the presence of sin in your own heart, the certainty and the reality of death says otherwise. You will die. And why do you think you will die? The answer is simple. Because you are a sinner. And sin entered into your heart when man fell. And death by sin. And if you want a proof for sin, it's death. And you cannot deny that you will die. And what answer have you got after death? For when you come to stand before God, you need something to stand before Him with. And that's righteousness and perfection. There's no righteousness and perfection in a sinful heart that says there is no God. But the fool that says there's no sin consequently must say there is no judgment. There is no judgment. We shall not surely die, the fool says in his heart. He listens to the whisperings of the subtle deceiver, the serpent that says, "Ye shall not surely die. You have become as gods. You know right from wrong. You will live forever. But ye shall surely die. And after this, the judgment." Death is the proof of judgment. Death was God's sentence against man when man rebelled against Him in the garden. And after natural death, there is an eternal judgment, which will decide whether you enter into eternal life and glory with God, or into eternal darkness and death and suffering apart from God in hell. For there is a judgment. You will die. And judgment awaits those who die. And judgment awaits those who are accountable to their Maker. Morally accountable. For ye shall surely die. The heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. For we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We come before you with this message. I warn you, you who are foolish, you who say in your heart there is no God, I warn you this day, there is a God. There is a God, and there is a Creator. And He put you upon this earth to worship Him. And you have not worshipped Him. He put you upon this earth to live for Him, and you have not lived for Him. He put you upon this earth to serve Him, and you have not served Him. He put you upon this earth to glorify him, and you have not glorified him. He put you upon this earth to walk righteously before him, and you have not walked righteously before him. There is a God, there is a creator. No, you have not walked right before him. You have sinned and you have rebelled. For there is sin, and as a consequence there is judgment. And this is he before whom you will stand. And I warn you, for he is a terrible God to stand before. And there is a judgment seat of Christ which we must stand before, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. As it says in Romans in chapter 2, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou judgest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honour and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honour and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Oh yes, my friend, there is a judgment. There is a day coming when God shall judge the secrets of men, the hearts of men, by Jesus Christ, according to the gospel. But fifthly, the fool says, regarding Jesus Christ, having declared that there's no God, there's no creator, there's no sin, there's no judgment, therefore, there is no saviour. There is no saviour. Man says there's no Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Man might acknowledge a historical figure. Modern man tries to question the reality of that historical figure, to his folly. But should he even acknowledge the figure of Christ, the person of Christ, that man who lived in this world 2,000 years ago, that man that taught such great truths, that man that led so many people, that man who was rejected by so many people, that man who was nailed to a tree, that man who was crucified? Should they acknowledge that man? They say, no, he's not the Son of God. He was just a man. And now he is no saviour. For who needs salvation? So the fool says in his heart, there is no saviour. There is no saviour. If we are not sinners, and if there is no judgment, we need no saviour. Oh, what folly the fool utters. What a progression of thought does the fool go along. How deceptive is that voice that whispers in his ear, ye shall not surely die. Ye shall not surely die, therefore ye need no saviour. Ye are not a sinner, therefore there's no judgment. If no judgment, there's no need for salvation. And the fools receive such foolish wisdom to their folly, to their ruin, and to their destruction. For there is a Saviour, and he did come to save. For mankind is a sinner, and sinners need salvation. You need salvation. I need salvation. We need salvation. Man needs a Saviour. And thank God there is a Saviour. There is a Saviour. And he was born in Bethlehem. He came as he was promised. The Saviour whom God promised to send to his people, to save his people, to suffer in the place of his people, to die for his people, to redeem and ransom his people. He came. The Lord Jesus Christ came, and he was not just a man. He was the Son of God. God sent his only begotten Son into this world, that whosoever believeth on him might not perish, but have everlasting life. The one who was prophesied of came. And when Mary and Joseph heard the angels, heard the Lord saying unto them that Mary should bring forth a son, they heard him say that thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not only did Christ come, not only did the Son of God come, not only was there a Saviour, but this Saviour came to this end, that he should save his people from their sins. For this people are sinners, and they need salvation from their sins. But the fool says there is no Saviour, for the fool cannot see this Saviour. And why can the fool not see the Saviour? For the fool is blind. And the fool cannot see, and the fool is dead. And he's dead in trespasses and sins, for in his first birth, by nature, having inherited sin from his mother and father, Adam and Eve in the garden, who transgressed and fell, and sin entered and death by sin, that sin entered and passed in unto all men, and death passed upon all men, and all men are born sinners, and are born dead. And being born dead, they are blind to the things of God. They seek not God. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. And there is none who sees him. There is none who can see the things of God. There is none who can comprehend the things of God. Why not? Because except ye be born again, ye shall not see the kingdom of God. As Christ said unto Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell where it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You cannot see, except ye be born again. And the fool with his heart cannot see. He cannot see the Saviour. He cannot see his salvation. He says there is no God. And there is no Saviour. Is that you today? What does your heart say? Do you see Jesus Christ? Do you know him? Do you say this is the Saviour of sinners? Or do you say he's no Saviour? Lastly, the sixth saying of the fool as a consequence is that there is no salvation. If there's no God, no Creator, no sin, no judgment and no Saviour, then there can be no salvation. He says there's no salvation, for there's nothing to be saved from. Oh, what foolishness! How the fool goes to his grave with such stupidity, such blindness. What a consequence there awaits for him. What a shock there awaits him. What an awful reckoning there will be when he comes to stand before him with whom he must deal. What folly! For there is salvation, and he rejects it at his peril, and he rejects the Saviour at his peril. And the fool needs to hear of this Saviour, and he needs to hear of this salvation. This is his need. This is your need. Don't be the fool this day. Don't say in your heart there is no God, there is no Creator, there is no sin, no judgment, no Saviour and no salvation. For you need this Saviour and you need his salvation. And the only way you will hear of it and know of it is if God gives you ears to hear his gospel. And that is what you are hearing this day, his gospel. But can you hear it with your heart, or does it just go into your outward ears? You need to hear this gospel not just with the outward ears, but in the heart, in power. In power. For Paul said of this gospel, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This gospel is the power of God. It's what he sends forth by power to make his Saviour and their salvation known. And you need to hear of this salvation, not just with the mind, not just with the outer ear, but in your heart this day. Don't be the fool that counts it as foolishness. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. But I thank God that he has said that I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. For if it's that wisdom that you've got, it needs to be destroyed and it needs to be brought to nothing. May God bring such wisdom to nothing this day in your heart. For where is the wise? And where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Have not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Yes, he has. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. What does your heart say to such things? Do you follow the foolishness of men, the what they call wisdom? Or will God give you ears to hear the foolishness of God, which in reality is the wisdom of God? That wisdom and that power in the gospel which brings to naught the wisdom of the wise, which destroys the wisdom of the wise, which brings to nothing the understanding of the prudent. For God hath chosen the foolishness of things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, the base things of the world. The nothings have God chosen. Things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. For there is a Saviour. And there is salvation. And Christ did come to save his people. And mankind is a sinner who will give an account in the day of judgment before his Maker, his Creator, before his God. Will you hear the word of God this day? Let me tell you briefly something of the word of God this day. You've heard six sayings of the fool. Now hear one word of wisdom from God's word. wisdom, God's wisdom. Hear of the one who came, who died, who was crucified, who was buried, and who rose again to save sinners such as you and me. Hear this word of wisdom. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, when you said in your heart, there is no God, you crucified him. Whom ye crucified, and yet whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This man, I stand before you today whole, because of this man Jesus Christ, who made me whole. This is the stone, Christ is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. This Jesus Christ, whom men reject, whom men say is not a saviour, and in whom men say there is no salvation. Nevertheless, this Christ came into this world to save sinners. And this Jesus Christ did indeed save sinners. When he was nailed to a cross, when he was beaten and bruised, when he hung up his head and cried out with a loud voice and cried out, "It is finished," he had saved his people from their sins. God had punished that people's sins to the uttermost in that Saviour, in his own Son, who, loving that people, gave himself for that people, who shed his blood for that people, who swallowed up the wrath of God that they deserved, that people like you and I deserved, that wrath of God which we will have to swallow should we stand before him on the day of judgment and have no salvation to plead. Yet if God gives you mercy, if God opens your eyes to see this Saviour, then you will know that this Saviour came for you, and this Jesus Christ of Nazareth died for you and stood in your place and swallowed up the wrath of God that you deserved for you. Do you know him? Have you heard him? Have you seen him? This Saviour who died for sinners, who died for fools, who died for those that say in their heart, there is no God. Listen to this word of wisdom. There is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. Will you turn from him in your folly? Will you despise him in your heart, or will you receive him in your heart? He died to save his people from their sins. Then who are that people? They are elect. They are chosen in Christ from the world's foundation. And all that people chosen in him come unto him. They come unto him, for he saved them. And the Spirit will save all for whom he died. The Spirit will draw all for whom he died. He will bring all such people to hear this gospel that you are hearing today. He will bring them to a place to hear of Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners, the Saviour of fools. Then are you so foolish that you will stand back from such a Saviour? Or will you come unto him who came to save sinners? Will you come unto him whose name is salvation? Oh, what a name this is. Oh, what a Saviour this is. And oh, what salvation he has for those whom God has given him. Oh, what God has prepared for this people in his Son. For it is written that I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Oh, hear this wisdom, believe in your heart. May this wisdom enter into your heart. It may not have entered into your heart what God has prepared for those that love him, but may this wisdom enter into your heart this day. May these words sink down into your heart, that you might believe, and that believing, you may no longer be the fool, but you may be saved. For you see, it's a matter of the heart. Then what do you say this day in your heart? What says it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Oh, may God open your eyes and your ears. May God open your eyes to see. May he open your heart this day to no longer be the heart of the fool. But may he open your heart this day to see, to believe, and to confess that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.